Just in case, Greeks are increasingly taking money out of the bank. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A week ago, European officials were quietly doing contingency planning in case Greece were to default on its debt. Now some senior European officials are talking out loud of the possibility that Greece could be forced from the euro. Creditors want more budget cutting and other reforms after years of austerity that has prompted an economic contraction in Greece being compared to the Great Depression. Greece's government remains unwilling to commit to further cuts. Two crisis meetings between Greek and fellow European officials are now planned for Monday. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is in Athens. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, David.
I see evidence here that people in Greece have been withdrawing a lot of money from their bank accounts.
Yes, reports today that $3 billion has been pulled out this week alone. And since October last year, something like $33 billion. There certainly is a fear that the country could default and crash out of the euro, a fear that people might find overnight their euros have been converted into much cheaper drachmas. But I don't see any real signs of a panic here. You don't, for example, see lines and lines of people at the ATMs.
So the term bank run does not seem quite appropriate at this juncture.
No, not a full-blown bank run, for sure. But one could say the beginnings of it.
Now, what are you hearing from your Greek interviewees about how people think all this will end?
Many of the people, in fact, all of the people that I've spoken to here, don't seem to believe that they are on the brink of default and Grexit. They seem to think that at the last minute, the government's going to blink and sign the new terms to unfreeze the last chunk of bailout money. Now, that would certainly prevent a Grexit, but it's not going to solve the huge financial and economic problems this country is facing. Aristides Hatzis, professor of law and economics at Athens University, says he's very pessimistic about Greece's long-term future.
I don't see how this is going to end.
It's going to be a permanent crisis.
Yeah, a permanent crisis. A permanent crisis. Only a miracle can save this country.
Nevertheless, many Greeks are focusing this week on the short term, and I think they'll be very relieved if they can, over the next few weeks, avoid the major disruption of default and Grexit.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Athens. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And was it coincidence or symbolism at work today amid this high-stakes negotiation that could force Greece away from the bosom of the European Union? Where is Greece's prime minister today? Meeting with Russian President Putin in St. Petersburg. Now let's do the numbers. Stocks in Europe seem calm. The FT 100 in London is up 0.5%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. But a further surge downward at the end of a bad week for share prices in China. The CSI index in Shanghai fell more than 6% today, down 12.5% for the week. Some analysts say that it's a correction, that time has come. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up modestly this morning. Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up-to-date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. The online marketplace for crafts, Etsy, has been trying to win back the favor of investors. Its stock is down by more than half since its launch in April. Among new potential areas of growth, Etsy has announced it's testing a crowdfunding system so that Etsy users can put up money to help promising Etsy businesses get off the ground in return for getting the resulting products early. Etsy CEO Chad Dickerson came into the Marketplace Bureau here in New York to talk about the state of Etsy at a milestone moment. Mr. Dickerson, good morning.
Good morning.
So you just celebrated a milestone here, Etsy's 10th birthday. Did you ever imagine it would be like this when the company started 10 years ago?
I'm not surprised by the success of Etsy, because I think what Etsy really does is it appeals to, you know, the yearning for people to create things and make things that they are really passionate about. As a society, I think there's a real fatigue with big box retail. So Etsy fulfills a need for the creative people to find unique goods that you can't find anywhere else.
Now, if only you didn't have any competition, but I was just reading that Amazon is thinking of launching some kind of spinoff to their retail platform that sounds a little Etsy-ish, that will focus on handmade items, and then who knows what Alibaba of China might sometimes do. I mean, you're going to have to figure out what to do about this.
We have a really passionate community. We have 1.4 million sellers. You know, we think others will try to copy that, but I think, you know, Etsy is the kind of the original deal, and, you know, it's really a part of, you know, our heart and soul and really who we are.
But help me with this. I mean, Etsy, in so many of our minds, and you've been reinforcing that just now in the interview, is about crafts. But we heard on this program just the other day, one of your customers was quite grumpy about the fact that they thought it was going to be handmade, and it turned out it was from a factory. How do you define what should be on Etsy? And if something doesn't conform, how do you police that?
We have very clear policies on what you can sell at Etsy. The seller has to demonstrate authorship, responsibility, and transparency. So one of the things that we're really excited about is we're seeing the emergence of really small-scale, human-scale, responsible manufacturing. And we see the manufacturing that our sellers are doing, largely local, largely small, as being part of that vision for a better economy.
Now, you're a B corporation, right? And so your bottom line isn't just maximizing shareholder value. It's maximizing shareholder value plus other things. Tell me about that.
So the whole idea behind a B Corp is that you can combine creating profit with creating social good. And I think Etsy is uniquely positioned to achieve both of those goals. The way I think about it, when you do a transaction on Etsy, we're essentially sending these funds to artisans really all over the world. So it's a system that distributes wealth out to the people who deserve it, the makers and designers who are selling on Etsy.
Chad Dickerson, CEO of Etsy. Mr. Dickerson, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
You can hear some of the newsroom stories behind the stories of the global economy. We have a new podcast in association with Quartz called Actuality, iTunes or marketplace.org if you want to hear more. Our senior producer, Nicole Childers, online digital producer, Tobin Lowe. I'm David Brancaccio. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.